Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Big, big thanks to Appeals Court Judge Chris Taylor joining me here on the Civic Media Radio Network for her first live interview, an exclusive, after announcing today she will be facing off in 2026 against sitting Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Rebecca Bradley. That is going to be yet another barn burner, with Wisconsin at the center of the political universe. But broadening our scope back out a wee bit to discuss world affairs, we are being rejoined by Marquette University Associate Professor of Political Science, Lowell Barrington. Professor Barrington, first of all, thank you for your patience and understanding as we navigate the waters of live radio this afternoon. Lots of breaking news today, sir. But I wanted to pick back up where we left off before we spoke with Judge Taylor. And that is what concerns me so much about what occurred during the two-hour phone call yesterday between Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump is that for months, Donald Trump told us he was going to be the arbiter of peace, that he was central to bringing about a Ukraine-Russia ceasefire and ultimately a durable peace. But it appears to me, and especially in the readout and the coverage of the call from the Russian press, from the competing readouts that both President Putin and President Trump gave, that effectively Vladimir Putin told Donald Trump to butt out, that this was a matter for Ukraine and Russia to negotiate and decide. And Donald Trump said, okay, Vlad, I'm going to do just that. Is Donald Trump really signaling a certain degree of weakness, an inability to navigate these very fraught relations? Is he demonstrating to the world that he really doesn't have either the appetite or the acumen to apply pressure to world leaders in these kinds of conflicts to bring about resolutions?
Well, first of all, let me mention that no problem having me wait for the conversation about state judicial politics, whether politics is global or statewide, all levels of politics affect people's lives. So that was a fun conversation for me to listen to. I think that it's fair to question his understanding or kind of depth of interest in global affairs. It's not something in his first term that was, you know, his strong suit. I do think, again, there's something about his relationship with Putin that's a particularly kind of interesting relationship, and his willingness to not just listen to Putin a bit, but to actually echo points that Putin makes. And I think if, you know, if we're thinking about what would be concerning in terms of U.S. security when our adversaries are kind of watching this happen, I think that idea, for example, I mean, and Putin said it the other day, that for Russia, the quote-unquote root cause of the conflict with Ukraine was NATO expansion. And we've had President Trump actually kind of echo this idea that NATO expansion, in fact, was a big cause of the war. And so I think that that's what concerns me as much as anything, is that it would almost be better for him not to be involved in some ways than to be involved and echo Putin's talking points.
Fascinating. Better for Trump to not be involved, to step back from this, to not have the world press listening to him, effectively trumpeting disinformation points coming out of the Kremlin. Stunning. I wanted to take a listen to, this is Vice President Vance, I believe yesterday on Air Force One. Let's take a listen to what J.D. Vance had to say. This is Cut 20.
There is fundamental mistrust between Russia and the West. It's one of the things the president thinks is frankly stupid, that we should be able to move beyond the mistakes that have been made in the past, but that takes two to tango. I know the president's willing to do that, but if Russia's not willing to do that, then we're eventually just gonna have to say, this is not our war, it's Joe Biden's war, it's Vladimir Putin's war, it's not our war. We're gonna try to end it, but if we can't end it, we're eventually gonna say, you know what, that was worth a try, but we're not doing it anymore.
There's quite a bit there. I wanted to start, and that sound came to mind, Professor Barrington, because of where Vice President Vance begins in that cut, where he says you know, this fundamental lack of trust, and the president thinks that's stupid, meaning the lack of trust between the United States and Russia. And the president's willing to trust Russia, but if Vladimir Putin isn't willing to trust us, well, it takes two to tango. Is that just itself a stupid comment, a naive one, Professor Barrington? I mean, at what point in time has Vladimir Putin demonstrated himself to be trustworthy vis-a-vis foreign relations, Crimea, Ukraine, or his dealings with Western Europe or the United States in any way, shape, or form? I'm stymied by what the vice president articulated there.
Well, it is true what he started with, which is that there has been a fundamental mistrust between Russia and the West for a long time. The question is sort of what's driven that mistrust and what the solutions might be to help overcome it. I think that one of the real issues here is I have a sense that neither President Trump nor J.D. Vance probably understand kind of the complexities of Putin. I think they think he's a completely rational deal maker, kind of like Trump, not really very ideological, just, you know, really wants to think strategically, and therefore you should be able to hammer out a deal and get things resolved. And I think that's part of our misunderstanding in general in the U.S. about Putin. It's people tend to either be in the camp of he's this crazy Russian nationalist, hothead, you know, can't work with him because of that, or it's this he's this completely strategic person who knows how to manipulate everyone and he doesn't really have any ideological anchors. And it's really a little bit of both. He's certainly strategic at times, but there are some core things he really believes in. And one of those is there is a real belief that NATO expansion was an existential threat to Russian security. I believe that he believes that deeply. I believe that he believes as well that the U.S. and Europe harmed Russia significantly in the 1990s when Boris Yeltsin was president and before Putin was on the center stage. And that in some ways, I think he thinks it was fairly intentional on our part. I'm not sure I agree with that part, but again, he believes these kinds of things about the West. So to think that he will just stop having any kind of mistrust because of who the president is, again, is missing some things that I think, at least in him, are quite deep. And when it comes to Ukraine, there's an added depth to this. And again, I think I might have talked about this with you last time, too, that I don't know exactly how deep of a belief this is for Putin, but I think it's pretty deep, which is that this concept that Russians and Ukrainians are really one people, and that in a way kind of Ukrainians just went off the rails of Russian identity and it's kind of their fault and they just need to be brought back under the wing of Russian culture and control and that everything will be fine. I think it's that. But then there's also this strategic piece, which is that Putin really desperately wants Ukraine to be unstable and to be a kind of failure at democracy, as opposed to at least what it had been before the war, which was a functioning democracy, if not a perfect one. So again, I think it's really, Putin is complicated. And so to deal with him, we need people who themselves walk into these situations and events with a deep understanding of nuance and complexity. And I don't know that that's what we're getting, at least in the last couple months.
We're talking with Burkhardt University Associate Professor of Political Science, Lowell Barrington. You raise a really fascinating point, Professor, about the understanding Putin as someone who observed Yeltsin's Russia and observed the fall of the Soviet Union, the establishment of fledgling and ultimately somewhat functional democracies in former Soviet republics, and that part of his agenda vis-a-vis Ukraine is to crush a fledgling functional democracy, that is a motivator, and that the concern, Putin's concern over Ukrainian admission to NATO relates to that. It would strengthen Ukraine as an independent functional democracy. One of the things that stands out to me is not just some of the lack of nuance or understanding, or the ultimate agenda here is the lack of anyone within the Republican Party that is bringing that truth to Vice President Vance and President Trump. As you survey the landscape, are there truth tellers that remain on Capitol Hill or in the White House to help inform the president to say stepping away and washing your hands of Ukraine is not actually going to advance U.S. security interests, to remind the president and vice president of these nuances, of these broader, long-standing strategic foundational aims that Vladimir Putin has? Who's the truth teller?
This is an interesting question, because I think in the area of foreign policy, we have typically seen the greatest levels of agreement and cooperation across party lines in the United States. And I think one of the things that's been going on here is not that people have themselves radically altered their position in the Republican Party in terms of their own personal beliefs. It's the concern of voicing those beliefs. And in particular, the really significant move in the area of intelligence in the United States, meaning sort of security intelligence, right? The kind of intelligence briefings that President Trump would get, the move toward people who are Trump loyalists to hold those positions, as opposed to people whose lives have been spent in their career working on these kinds of issues, I think that's something that has made things even worse. So that if you're, even if you're willing to say something a little bit about this, you're now countered not just by President Trump and the fear of being primaried and everything that comes with that, whether it's domestic politics or foreign policy, you know, opposition to Trump, but you're countered now by the intelligence community as well, in a way that we did not see nearly to the same extent in the first Trump term.
Deeply concerning, to say the very least. Let's zoom out even further. If world leaders, especially countries that are adversaries of the United States, are able to read the media accounts, as well as you and I, Professor Barrington, about the fact that there has been a loyalist vetting process within key intelligence agency and national security positions, that there doesn't seem to be a willingness to say to the President of the United States what needs to be said, to tell him the truth when it comes to these key national security questions, whether it be Ukraine and Russia, whether it be Iran, the Mideast, et cetera. What does that say? What are our adversaries, what are our enemies, to be blunt, thinking is happening within the United States national security apparatus? Or do they view it potentially as no one minding the store?
Well, I think what they think is there's a door that's open to do what Putin has done and other former adversaries have done, which is flatter the president and offer him gifts and try to get on good terms with him, and that can lead to foreign policy changes.
Mm. Our thanks to Professor Lowell Barrington, Associate Professor of Political Science at Marquette University. My closing thoughts when we return.